Welcome to the NTEB Prophecy News Podcast with your host and Bible teacher, Jeffrey Greider. Rightly divided, dispensationally correct, and standing on the authority of the King James Holy Bible, this program is brought to you by NowTheEndBegins.com.
And good afternoon, everybody, and happy Monday, and welcome to this edition of the Prophecy News Podcast. We've got a lot to talk about today. Man, oh man, do we got a lot to talk about today. Okay, as global vaccine mandates are raging, well, now you see what Build Back Better and the Great Reset are really all about. The Twin Towers came down with directed energy weapons, and what rose up in its place was a One World Trade Center. Yes, that's what they call it. That's the official name. It is called the One World Trade Center. It's crafted on all sides with upside down V's, and from a distance it looks just like a syringe. But I'm sure that's just an amazing visual coincidence, right? I mean, it's not like the American government is now forcing people to be injected with... Oh, wait, never mind. They are. Genesis 49:1 says, "And Jacob called unto his sons and said, gather yourselves together, that I may tell you that which shall befall you in the last days." And that's where we are right now. On this episode of the NTEB Prophecy News Podcast, the wheels are off the bus, the train is off the rails, and the entire world has gone vaccine crazy. It has become the defining issue of our day, and it is ushering in a time of global madness, quite similar to the narrative laid out in George Orwell's 1984. Orwell wrote that book as a warning, but in our day it's being used by the New World Order as the how-to manual. Indeed, we right now have the thought police telling us how and what we are allowed to think. We have the past being erased to create nothing but an endless present. And the meaning of words has been changed to such a degree that words have become near to meaningless. It's been in front of our faces the entire time. Have we woken up too late? Are we even awake yet? In America, Joe Biden has issued a draconian vaccine mandate. But guess what? Every single member of Congress and their entire staff, they're all exempt. They don't have to take the vaccine. Nancy Pelosi doesn't have to take the vaccine. AOC doesn't have to take the vaccine. Nobody in Congress does. Nobody who works for anybody in Congress has to take the vaccine. The illegal aliens that are streaming over our open borders, they don't have to take the vaccine. But you do. Now, if you feel like you're being played, well, it's because you are. Welcome to the Great Reset. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your goodness and your mercy. We thank you, Lord, for all these that you've gathered here. We thank you for a great Sunday yesterday, the morning service, the evening Bible study. Man, that was some good stuff. And thank you for showing up. And we really do appreciate it. Lord, we thank you and we ask you to work in Jessica Welch's life. Her mom, Maria, wants to see her daughter get clean and sober and get on the right track and get saved and have a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. So we're going to pray for Jessica Welch today. Steve Markovich, one of our NTEB Facebook group admins, moderators, he's in the ICU with COVID. We have a praise report from something that we mentioned last night. Steve, not Steve Markovich, but a different Steve, wrote, "My wife Cindy asked for prayers last night for our son's girlfriend's mother, who was in the hospital with COVID. Last night, they told the families to say their last goodbyes. Well, we prayed for her last night. And this morning, Steve is saying that she is better and there is hope." Amen. And thanks for the prayers. Pine Lady said, praise report for the young lady Beth, who got so sick from the Moderna jab in August, she is home and better. And if you've taken the vaccine and you've had side effects, or if you know somebody who's taken the vaccine and they've died from it, reach out and let me know. Send me an email to info@nowthenbegins.com. I would certainly like to hear about it. Aunt Nancy says, prayers for members of my family that are unsaved. Ron Wooter and his wife was just diagnosed with COVID. He figures he has it. They're all sick. But guess what Ron is doing today? Well, he's in the chat room. He's listening to the podcast. And he's praising the Lord. He's shouting and having a good time. We don't need to be afraid of everything or anything. If you know the Lord Jesus Christ, you got an army behind you, an army of one. And that's all you need. So Heavenly Father, we thank you for these praise reports. We thank you for these prayer requests. We ask you to work and move in a mighty way as only you can, Lord. And we pray for Rob this morning. He needs our prayers, Lord. You know the needs. We lift him up before you. And we commit this time to you, Father God. Shayla Clark says, prayers for my husband Glenn's salvation. Melinda says, please pray for my father who is ailing. And the Lord really needs to get in there and do something there. So God, we thank you. Hundreds of people in the chat room. God, we pray that for the lost people who are listening right now, that something will be said and done to lead a lost soul to you. That the lost people who are listening right now will come to understand that hell is real and it's no joke. And they need to get saved sooner rather than later. And for those of us that are saved, I pray, Father God, that you would stir us up, set us on fire with a holy unction, and give us the power to preach and teach and get something done for you in these last days. And we commit this time to you, Lord. And we also pray for Jeanette's dad, who's going to have heart surgery tomorrow or Wednesday. Maybe it was Wednesday. I can't remember the exact day. But Jeanette's dad's going to have heart surgery. Please keep him in your prayers as well. Diane says, please keep me in prayer. I'm a type 2 diabetic. I've got to get an eye exam. Aunt Nancy said, prayers for members of my family that are not saved. Lord, we commit this time to you and ask for your blessing. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen and amen. Well, welcome, everybody. Glad you're here at the podcast today. Where do we begin? Where do we start first? You ever feel like you're a little bit crazy? You ever feel like some of the things that you believe are just so wildly out there? And then you find out that you're 100% right. Then you find out that everything that you believe is true. And in fact, you've really got to go a little farther. You got to catch up a little bit. You go from thinking that you're way out there on the edge, and then you do a little more digging and you realize you really didn't go far enough.
Oh, you're crazy. Am I? Or am I so sane that you just blew your mind?
It's impossible.
Is it? Or is it so possible that your head is spinning like a top?
It can't be.
Can it? Or is your entire world just crashing down all around you?
All right, that's enough.
Yeah,
that's how it is today. That's how it is in 2021. There's no such thing anymore called conspiracy theory. All my conspiracy theories came true. I got to work on some new ones. Man. And I'm not kidding. All my conspiracy theories, they all came true. They all turned out to be true. Australia's getting ready for the New World Order. They even call it the New World Order. Did you know that in Australia they have vaccination passports and they're even building what they ironically and sadistically refer to as COVID hotels?
Especially with reopening and people going back to pubs and stuff, because our exposure sites still, will they be put back in place to be listed once we are reopening? Because they're not at the moment.
We will be looking at what contact tracing looks like in the New World Order. Yes, it will be pubs and clubs and other things if we have a positive case there. Our response may be different if we know that people are fully vaccinated.
Yeah, there you have it. We'll be looking at contact tracing in the New World Order. They don't got to hide it anymore. They don't have to pretend that that's not what they're doing. And everybody seems to be coming out of the closet these days. I did a story the other day that made some people mad. It made some people cry. And it made a whole lot of people wake up. What story was that? Well, seems that Donald Trump has, he's formed a new one world order for religious purposes. And he's created this, I don't know if it's a political action committee. I don't know what it is. I think it's just an attempt to get reelected. That's honestly what I think it is. But Donald Trump on Saturday, he gave a speech at the exact same place that Paula White gave a speech last December. And he gave a speech for Mother Moon and the Unification Church. You remember the Unification Church, Reverend Sung Young Moon. And he said that he was the reincarnation of Jesus Christ, and his wife, Dr. Hak Ja Han Moon, affectionately referred to as the Mother Goddess or Mother Moon. And last year, Donald Trump's spiritual advisor, Paula White, gave a glowing testimony to Mother Moon, the cult leader. And, well, this past weekend, Donald Trump did the same thing. Take a listen.
I want to thank the Universal Peace Federation, and in particular, Dr. Hak Ja Han Moon, a tremendous person.
That's Mother Moon.
For her incredible work on behalf of peace all over the world. Her story of escaping from North Korea at 5 years old at the outset of the Korean War is an amazing example of the power of faith in Almighty God. I also want to thank her late husband, Reverend Moon, for founding the Washington Times, an organization for which I have tremendous respect and admiration.
I am so honored to be with you.
And now
and
here's
what
Paula
an encouragement
White.
To the body of Christ and to you, Mother Moon. For your tireless efforts and gather people for the better cause, I congratulate you. God wants to bring restoration.
Oh.
So I pray that you, myself, uh-huh. along with Mother Moon, will be a part of that great restoration.
Amen, sister.
Jesus said it like this in
Matthew
12, verse 30.
That's right.
He said, whoever is not with me is against me. And whoever does not gather, scatters.
Man, that's
we
some good preaching.
We thank you for that spirit of gathering on you,
Mother Moon. Oh, thank you, Mother Moon.
May the spirit of gather come upon
wow.
you right now.
The spirit of gather.
And may God do a great work to gather us together.
Oh, yeah.
We are praying for America.
Yeah.
And also for the reunification of Korea.
Oh,
I'm
that's
reminded
good.
Of this story that I'd like to read to you in Mother Moon's memoir.
That's all I can take of Paula White and Mother Moon. But I think that you see where everything is heading. And Char just said, I'm being a little bit sarcastic. I'm being a lot sarcastic. Because I want you to see not only the ridiculousness of what's going on, I want you to see with your eyes and hear with your ears the truth about the times that you live in. If you think Donald Trump is coming back to save America, you are deluded. You are living in a fantasy world. Donald Trump is speaking on behalf of the largest cult in Korea and giving those people legitimacy, just like they were Christians, and they're not. Paula White goes one step further and she calls her Mother Moon. I guess she has a more intimate relationship with Mother Moon. But I want you to wake up and to understand the level of deception that's taking place. The Bible says about the end times that people would see with their eyes and not see. They would hear with their ears and not hear. Isaiah 6:10 says, make the heart of this people fat, and make their ears heavy, and shut their eyes, lest they see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their heart and be converted and be healed. And that verse is quoted three more times in the New Testament, in Matthew, John, and the book of Acts. The last person to quote that verse is the Apostle Paul in Acts 28:27. If you're waiting for Donald Trump to come back and save America from the clutches of Joe Biden, you're deluded. And there's no nice way to say it. And I'm not insulting you. I am trying to wake you up. Look, Democrat, Republican, that's all over. That's all done with. Make America great again. Not going to happen. We're living in a time where the New World Order is exerting their influence. Talking about the new One World Trade Center. They tore down two towers and they put one tower up. And it's really interesting that the one tower that they put up, on every side of the one tower, you have upside down V's that are built into the shape of the tower. Now, what could that V possibly stand for? Victory? Vagabond? Venereal disease? Vacation? Vaccination? And it's so interesting to me that the top of this One World Trade Center really looks a whole lot like a syringe. At least it does to me. I'm a graphic artist. I've been a graphic artist for the last 21 years. I spend all day, every day, looking at things from a visual perspective, from a graphical art perspective. And you don't have to be a graphic artist to look at the One World Trade Center and then put a picture of a syringe right next to it. And you can clearly see the similarities. I don't know, maybe that's just me. I told you a couple minutes ago that I'm looking for some new conspiracy theories because all mine have come true. So maybe that's my new conspiracy theory. I don't know. But when I look with my eyes, that's really kind of what I see. Remember when the Democrats last year said you can't mandate vaccines, that nobody would stand for it? Remember when the Democrats, Nancy Pelosi, Kamala Harris, Joe Biden, Anthony Fauci, remember when they all said time and time and time again. You can't mandate vaccines, can't be done. Well, if you didn't hear it, I grabbed it for you. Take a listen.
We cannot require someone to be vaccinated. That's just not what we can do.
Needless to say, the right of women to make decisions about their own bodies is not negotiable.
No, definitely not. You don't want to mandate and try and force anyone to take a vaccine. We've never done that.
Our interest is very simple, from the federal government, which is Americans' privacy and rights should be protected.
It is a matter of privacy to know who is or who isn't.
We don't want to be mandating from the federal government to the general population. It would be unenforceable and not appropriate.
Perhaps the federal government should step in and issue mandates, and if not, are you putting the needs of unvaccinated people ahead of the needs of vaccinated people?
Well, I think the question here, one, that's not the role of the federal government.
No, I don't think it should be mandatory. I wouldn't demand to be mandatory.
First, we must increase vaccinations among the unvaccinated with new vaccination requirements.
And there you have it. There you have all those Democrats saying you can't have mandatory vaccines. You can't tell people what to do. Their body, their choice, right? Isn't that what Kamala Harris said? You can't tell a woman that she has to be vaccinated. That's what Kamala Harris said. Her body, her choice. Nancy Pelosi said that your vaccination status is your private health business, protected by HIPAA. Isn't it amazing how fast they all change their mind together? Wow. What an amazing coincidence. You wouldn't think that they all got to... Nah. You wouldn't think that they all met in private and all decided to do this together at the same time. Why, that would be a conspiracy. Sure would be. Take a listen to this.
No, I don't think it should be mandatory. I wouldn't demand to be mandatory, but I would do everything in my power. Just like I don't think masks have to be made mandatory nationwide. I'll do everything in my power as the President of the United States to encourage people to do the right thing, and when they do it, demonstrate that it matters.
And then finally, on the vaccine, Andy Slavitt talked about the idea of a vaccine passport in the COVID briefing this morning. He said it's primarily going to be spearheaded by the private sector. What's the president's position on whether, once the vaccine is more readily available, businesses should be able to tell employees who don't want to get the vaccine for whatever reason that they can't come back into the workplace?
We're going to provide guidance, just as we have through the CDC. There's currently an interagency process that is looking at many of the questions around vaccine verification. A determination or development of a vaccine passport or whatever you want to call it will be driven by the private sector. Ours will more be focused on guidelines that can be used as a basis. There will be no centralized universal federal vaccinations database and no federal mandate requiring everyone to obtain a single vaccination credential. We believe it will be driven by the private sector.
So there you have Joe Biden's press secretary, Jen Psaki. Did you hear what she just told you? She only said it a couple of months ago. It's hard to believe that we're only 8.5 months into Biden's presidency. Isn't that amazing? Doesn't it feel more like 4 or 5 years have gone by? Hasn't even been 9 months. Well, just a couple of months ago, what you just heard Jen Psaki say, she said there's going to be no national vaccine database. That was a lie. She said there's going to be no national vaccine mandate. That's a lie. There's going to be no pressure by the federal government to coerce anybody to get a vaccine if they don't wish to receive it. Well, that's a lie. These people lie a lot, don't they? Wow.
I'm announcing that the Department of Labor is developing an emergency rule to require all employers with 100 or more employees that together employ over 80 million workers to ensure their workforces are fully vaccinated. Today, in total, the vaccine requirements in my plan will affect about 100 million Americans, two-thirds of all workers. And for other sectors, I issue this appeal to those of you running large entertainment venues, from sports arenas to concert venues to movie theaters. Please require folks to get vaccinated or show a negative test as a condition of entry.
That's something that you would be in support of?
Look, I focus on what we're doing in Ohio, and you know, we know what works, and what our job every day is to make sure these vaccines are available to people.
I have been supportive of the vaccine. I pushed the vaccine. I've been publicly vaccinated. That was my choice. What the Biden administration is doing is government overreach, pure and simple. And people don't want them hammering down on them to get this vaccine. How many businesses are going to lose employees? How many schools are going to be shut down? How many of these companies are going to be fined? This is requires pushback and a response, and that's what the state of Arizona is going to do.
So he's absolutely right. This requires pushback. This requires us to stand up and say no. Not to run and cower and be afraid and be fearful. If your employer says that they're going to fire you if you don't get the vaccine, stand up. Take legal action. You are not a victim. Now, as far as I'm concerned, you do what you want to do. You pray to God and ask Him to lead you and guide you as I've done for myself. And I feel very, very confident that the answer to that prayer that God gave me is the right answer for me. But you do as your heart tells you to do. If you're saved, you have access to the same God that I do. You have the same Holy Spirit that I have. But ask yourself if God would want you to be living in fear. If God would want you to be running away. I don't think He would. The Bible says that perfect love casts out fear. And I'm not telling you to do anything in either direction. I'm just simply saying you don't have to be a victim. And your employer has no right to fire you if you don't take the vaccine. That is an absolute violation of the United States Constitution. You don't have to be pushed around and you don't have to take it. What these people thrive on is they thrive on making you afraid and then having your fear do their dirty work for them. These people thrive on making you afraid and then having your fear do their dirty work for them. Just like I've always said to friends of mine with the flu vaccine, you want to get the vaccine? Go ahead, go get it. But I researched it. I don't want it. I researched the COVID-19 vaccine. I don't want it. I want you to listen to this clip. We're going to talk a little bit today about Anthony Fauci. And we're going to take a little blast to the past. We're going to go back about 45 years. And I want to show you that what Anthony Fauci is doing right now is not new. And I'm going to show you that Anthony Fauci has done all of this before. And I'm going to show you how Anthony Fauci is directly responsible for the death of a quarter million Americans back in the 1980s and 90s. What Fauci is doing in 2021, he has been doing for the last 45 years. And I'm going to show it to you today because you need to know. Anthony Fauci is part of the New World Order. Anthony Fauci, longtime friend with George Soros, Bill Gates, senior and junior. Longtime friend with David Rockefeller. And on Friday, we played all those things related to David Rockefeller and the New World Order and the Bilderberg movement. I don't want to repeat a lot of that today. But if you haven't listened to last Friday's podcast, I highly recommend that you go back and listen to it. But Anthony Fauci has been with these people for quite some time. And everything that he's doing, this is all part of the plan. I want you to listen to what Anthony Fauci said just a couple of days ago about the difference between natural immunity, your God-given, you know, system of immunity, and what you get from this shot that's been rushed through and approved by the FDA in secret closed-door meetings in the dark of night. Take a listen to Anthony Fauci, not sure about natural immunity.
And just real quickly, there was a study that came out of Israel about natural immunity. And basically the headline was that natural immunity provides a lot of protection, even better than the vaccines alone. What are people to make of that? So as we talk about vaccine mandates, I get calls all the time. People say, I've already had COVID, I'm protected. And now the study says maybe even more protected than the vaccine alone. Should they also get the vaccine? How do you make the case to them?
You know, that's a really good point, Sanjay. I don't have a really firm answer for you on that. That's something that we're going to have to discuss regarding the durability of the response. The one thing the paper from Israel didn't tell you is whether or not as high as the protection is with natural infection, what's the durability compared to the durability of a vaccine? So it is conceivable that you got infected, you're protected, but you may not be protected for an indefinite period of time. So I think that is something that we need to sit down and discuss seriously, because you very appropriately pointed out it is an issue and there could be an argument for saying what you said.
And where are we on kids below the age of 12?
So there you have Anthony Fauci. And he is just not sure about the difference between natural immunity, which is far preferable to anything ever created in a laboratory for profit by a pharmaceutical company. Anthony Fauci is not sure about the difference between natural immunity, because if you heard what he said, that natural immunity is really good, but you don't know how long it's going to last for. That same liar is the same person that says you have to get one shot. No, make that two shots. No, make that a booster shot. No, make that a fourth booster shot. Do you realize that in the 10 months since they've had these vaccines, they have changed their directives and their directions and their mandates at least half a dozen times? Remember when Joe Biden said, if you have this vaccine, you won't get sick? That was a lie. If you have this vaccine, you won't be hospitalized? That was a lie. If you have this vaccine, you won't die from COVID? And that was a lie. And what did they do to cover up for their lies? They simply stopped recording the number of adverse reactions with people who already were vaccinated and got COVID with a breakthrough case. That's what their response was. They simply stopped recording the information so that when they turned to it and they said, oh, look, less than 5%. But those numbers, because they stopped keeping count, those numbers were off by 500%. And so every step of the way, these people have lied and lied and lied and lied. And they're lying right now. But I want to show you something. And this clip is a little bit on the long side, but I'll jump in from time to time. Many of you who are longtime listeners of the podcast, you know that my older brother died in 1988, and he died of HIV/AIDS. That's what he was diagnosed with. But I was always very highly suspicious about the way that my brother died, and the reason why I was always highly suspicious. Now, he died 6 years before the internet came out, so I had my suspicions, but I really didn't have anything that I could do with those suspicions, because there was no central place to do research other than the library. And the library is not good for breaking news. But my older brother began, after he was diagnosed with AIDS, he began to get sick almost immediately after receiving a drug from his doctor recommended by Anthony Fauci called AZT. And Anthony Fauci, he first came on the radar back in 1981. And I've already written many articles showing how he is connected to George Soros and Bill Gates Sr., who was head of Planned Parenthood, Bill Gates III from Microsoft, David Rockefeller. In 2010, Anthony Fauci was on Bill Gates' Global Vaccine Action Board. And for over 40 years, Anthony Fauci, Dr. Death, has been demanding that his absolutely nonsensical and stupid rules and regulations be followed. And Anthony Fauci, back in the 1980s and 90s, was responsible for the death of 250,000 people. Writing in the San Francisco Examiner, June 26th of 1988, AIDS activist Larry Kramer wrote an open letter to Anthony Fauci, and he said, "You are responsible for all government-funded AIDS treatment research. In the name of right, you make decisions that cost the lives of others. I call the decisions that you are making acts of murder." This is Anthony Fauci, 1985, 86, 87, 88. And I came across a video clip this morning that absolutely blew me away. And I found it on a liberal YouTube channel. There's a website called The Hill. And they talk about things that go on in Washington, D.C. Mostly they talk about things that go on in Congress. But The Hill is absolutely far left. There's no question about it. But I want you to listen to this clip that I got from The Hill YouTube channel just this morning. And listen to what a mass murderer that Anthony Fauci has always been. Take a listen to this clip.
So, Kim, what's on your radar?
Well, in June of 1981, reports came out of five otherwise healthy gay men in Los Angeles who'd come down with PCP, a type of pneumonia typically caused by a suppressed immune system. Doctors and scientists were baffled by the novel disease. They had no idea what was causing these otherwise young, healthy men to become gravely ill. One such scientist who took an interest in researching the novel disease was Anthony Fauci. At the time, the first reports of the illness, Fauci was working his way up in the bureaucracy of the NIH. At the time, Fauci was working on other things, but he was so intrigued by the novel disease that he began dedicating much of his time to it. In 1984, Anthony Fauci was named the head of the National Institute of Allergy and Infectious Diseases, a title he still holds to this day. And public panic regarding AIDS, which had finally been given a name the year before, had firmly taken over the nation. Public panic intensified, partly because of comments made by Fauci regarding transmission of the virus. In the early 80s, the public believed AIDS was a sexually transmitted disease that only affected gay men. But after the discovery of an infant being diagnosed with the virus, Fauci made comments in the Journal of the American Medical Association claiming the possibility that routine close contact, as within a family household, could spread the disease.
All right, I'm going to stop her right there. I'm going to jump in on that. So I want you to understand that everything that you're watching Anthony Fauci doing in 2020 and 2021, none of this is new. Back in the early 1980s, we also had a pandemic of sorts. And if you were alive during the 1980s and you couldn't go anywhere, you couldn't read any magazine, look at any billboard without being told that AIDS was going to end human life as we know it, the greatest outbreak in human history. And who was at the epicenter of all the lies and the distortions about HIV/AIDS? Anthony Fauci was right there from the very beginning. Anthony Fauci was there spreading lies and disinformation and misinformation. Now, my older brother got caught in that web of lies. And I'm going to tell you in just a little bit what happened to my brother, what Anthony Fauci's advice did to my brother, and why I would never take Anthony Fauci's advice on anything. But let's keep listening.
This news immediately set off alarm bells as mainstream news outlets such as AP and the New York Times began reporting on household transmission of AIDS. ABC News sat down with Fauci regarding this new alarming development.
Given the long incubation period of this disease, we may be starting to see, as we're seeing virtually as the months go by, other groups that can be involved. And seeing it in children is really quite disturbing.
When you say other close contact, give me some examples.
Well, for example, if the close contact of a child is a household contact, perhaps there will be a certain number of cases of individual who are just living with and in close contact with someone with AIDS or at risk of AIDS who does not necessarily have to have intimate sexual contact or share a needle, but just the ordinary close contact that one sees in normal interpersonal relationships. Now, that may be far-fetched in the sense that there have been no cases recognized as yet in which individuals have had merely casual contact, close albeit, with an individual with AIDS who, for example, have gotten AIDS. For example, there have been no cases yet reported of hospital personnel who have fairly close contact with patients with AIDS. There have been no case reports of them getting AIDS. But the jury is still out on that because the situation is constantly evolving and the incubation period is so long. As you know, it's a mean of about 14 months, ranging from 6 to 18 months. So what medical researchers and public health service officials are concerned with is what we felt were the confines of transmissibility now going to be loosening up and broadening up so that something less than truly intimate contact can give transmission of this disease.
So there you have Anthony Fauci just simply doing a data dump of whatever random thoughts are in his head, having no idea what he's talking about, telling things that aren't even true. You cannot catch AIDS from casual contact. That's not how gay people spread it amongst themselves. That's not how anybody spreads it amongst themselves. You can't catch it from a waiter in a restaurant. You can't catch it from somebody coughing in your face. And yet, you heard the young Anthony Fauci. That clip was from about 1983 or 4. And you just heard him pontificating and spewing things that are partially true, half true, and not true at all. Basically, he lied. But as you're going to see in a couple of minutes, his lies had very serious consequences.
Well, of course, we now know that the infant contracted the virus through their mother's womb, but the damage had been done. Public panic had intensified, and people were fearing they could get AIDS from sharing a toilet seat or even from shaking hands. People living with AIDS were being alienated and ostracized from their jobs, homes, communities, and gay men in particular were heavily stigmatized. On the treatment front, Fauci and the team of scientists at the NIH began frantically working on a vaccine, believing that would be the way to end the AIDS epidemic.
So that brings me to point number three. Fauci and his team began to immediately work on an AIDS vaccine. Now, as you know, that was over 40 years ago. Actually, it was about 38 years ago. But let's just say 40 years ago. Aren't you the least bit suspicious why in 40 years they couldn't come up with any type of a vaccine that in any way slows down HIV/AIDS, but they can come up with a vaccine for a virus that nobody has ever seen before? They can create that vaccine in 5 months. Doesn't that give you any red flags in your brain? Doesn't that send off any alarm bells or warning signals that they can't come up with a vaccine for HIV/AIDS in 40 years, but they can come up with a vaccine for a virus that nobody's ever seen and they can do it in 20 weeks? If you believe that, well, you're a very special type of person.
Confident in their work, Health and Human Services Secretary Margaret Heckler declared in 1984 that an AIDS vaccine would be ready for testing within 2 years. But banking on a vaccine proved to be harder than it seemed. 2 years passed and there wasn't one even ready for testing. The public was losing patience. Pharmaceutical companies were also racing towards a treatment for AIDS, realizing the incredible potential for profits. In 1987, one such company was Burroughs Wellcome.
All right, I'm going to stop her there yet again. They realized, the big pharmaceutical companies did. They realized the incredible potential for profit. Shall I say it again? The big pharmaceutical companies realized the incredible potential for profit. Not the incredible potential for healing sick people or stopping an epidemic or stopping a killer virus or vaccinating the world to keep everybody safe. They realized the potential for incredible profits. And in slithers a company by the name of Burroughs Wellcome. And Burroughs Wellcome is going to show you a drug called AZT. AZT was not brand new in the 1980s. They had been working on it for about 30 years. And AZT was originally created as a chemotherapy drug. But when they did the clinical trials, all the people in the clinical trials died. You know what happened? Their livers stopped functioning. AZT fried your liver. Anthony Fauci forms a league with Burroughs Wellcome. Anthony Fauci begins to recommend AZT, and in his position at the National Institutes of Health and the CDC, and his growing alliance with Bill Gates Sr. and Bill Gates Jr. and George Soros and David Rockefeller and all of the mainstream media that has always promoted him. Anthony Fauci makes a deal with the devil and he begins to recommend from the official capacity of the CDC and the NIH to every doctor in America and around the world that the only way your patients are going to live is they got to take AZT and they got to take it in large doses. That's what Anthony Fauci said. I don't want to get ahead of this woman, but I'm starting to get a little hot under the collar now.
A British drug company who showed in a test tube that their failed cancer drug, AZT, could be repurposed to treat AIDS. Limited studies were done, long-term side effects were unknown, but in record speed, in less than 4 months, the FDA approved the drug as a treatment, claiming the benefits outweigh the risks. One of the parameters of the speedy approval...
All right. Stop right there. Did you hear what that woman just said on this far-left liberal program, The Hill? Their show is called The Rising on YouTube. Did you just hear her say that Anthony Fauci got this drug approved in 4 months? 4 months. That sound familiar to you at all? That's starting to make you think of, hey, wait a second. Didn't this other drug get approved in 5 months? Oh, yeah, that's right. Oh, man. Ecclesiastes 1:9. Well, they know all about Anthony Fauci. King Solomon knows what Anthony Fauci is doing. Ecclesiastes 1:9, the thing that hath been is the thing which shall be, and that which is done is that which shall be done, and there is no new thing under the sun. Is there anything whereof it may be said, see, this is new? It hath already been of old time, which was before us. Anthony Fauci, 40 years ago, pushed this drug and got it approved in 4 months. And it killed people. It killed a lot of people. And guess what? The government never took responsibility. The government never said that they were wrong. The government never said that they made a mistake. Anthony Fauci never apologized. Never.
Process was for the drug company to bring back follow-up data in 2 years. Burroughs Wellcome agreed, but of course, since the drug was already approved, they never really needed to follow up, and so they didn't. Celia Farber did incredible reporting on the approval, use, and dangers of AZT for Spin magazine in the late 80s. In her article titled Sins of Omission, she writes, quote, the majority of those in the AIDS-afflicted and medical communities held the drug up as the first breakthrough on AIDS. For better or worse, AZT had been approved faster than any drug in FDA history, and activists considered it a victory. The price paid for the victory, however, was that almost all government drug trials from then on focused on AZT, while over 100 other promising drugs were left uninvestigated.
All right, so there we have another blast from the past. After Anthony Fauci used his power and his influence to push through the FDA approval of AZT in a mere 4 months, the FDA and the CDC, they stopped looking at other treatments. There were dozens and dozens and dozens of other things that people could do. But every time an AIDS patient went to their doctor put on that white lab coat, and their voice got low and serious, and they looked them right in the eye, and they said, this drug is your only chance. If you don't take this drug, you will die. So guess what? They took the drug. Tens of thousands and then hundreds of thousands took AZT. And one by one, they all began to get sick almost immediately after taking the AZT. Was AZT ever investigated by the FDA? No, it was not. Did the CDC ever look into why everybody who was taking AZT died? Nope, they didn't look into it. They didn't care. They weren't interested. And the days turned into weeks, and the weeks turned into months. And then the years turned into a decade. And the trail of dead bodies was as far and as wide as the eye could see. And those people did not have to die. Now, there were radicals back in those days. Radicals who did not believe Anthony Fauci. Radicals who did not believe that AZT was going to help them. And they refused the treatments. And yes, some of them died, but the vast majority of them did not. AZT murdered 250,000 people, and Anthony Fauci pulled the trigger.
Now, the expensive drug made Burroughs welcome record profits, and at the time, it was the most expensive drug ever marketed. But people were desperate. They would do anything to get their lives back. Despite numerous doctors raising concerns about the toxicity of the drug, some even saying that it was doing the very opposite of what it claimed to do, that is, it was actually shortening the lives of their patients, Fauci and other health officials disagreed.
So here you have doctors back in that day. There were some ethical doctors who said, wait a second. It sure looks like the more we give this drug to people, the more people are dying. And Anthony Fauci didn't want to hear it. And I'm sure this is completely unrelated, but an article from Oxfam International, COVID-19 vaccines create 9 new big pharma billionaires with combined wealth greater than the cost of vaccinating the world's poorest countries. And Oxfam is a relatively liberal website. The COVID-19 vaccine, so far, it hasn't even been out for a year. And it's already created within the big pharma world. It's already created 9 COVID vaccine billionaires. Well, it seems that that's exactly what happened for Burroughs Wellcome back in the 1980s. I wonder how much Anthony Fauci got from that.
In 1989, Fauci began to promote the drug, not only for critically ill AIDS patients, but for anyone who tested positive for HIV, including those asymptomatic who showed no signs of disease. Those patients included hospital workers, pregnant women, and even children. Doctors were stunned. The data the NIH released was limited, but nonetheless, the NIH had gone all in on AZT. Despite it becoming clearer and clearer that AZT was toxic, caused liver damage, and destroyed white blood cells, the drug continued to be used for several years after, while calls from activists and doctors to study any other possible treatments went ignored.
So, back in 1989, a year after AZT killed my brother, Anthony Fauci decides to go all in on it. And even though thousands of people are dying, he now recommends that not only should people who have been diagnosed with HIV/AIDS take this highly toxic drug, but he now recommends that if you are in a high-risk group, you should take this drug as a preventative. Can you imagine the sheer stupidity? You're not diagnosed with the disease, and now you're being told to take this very sketchy, very questionable drug because you're in a risk group. Well, fear does a lot of things to people. Fear can make you crazy. Fear can give you a heart attack. Fear can give you a stroke. Fear can stress you out beyond your ability to continue to function. Fear can make you cry like a baby and tremble and curl up into a ball. What was Anthony Fauci selling in 1989? He was selling fear. He wasn't selling a cure. He wasn't selling medicine to help people. In 1989, Anthony Fauci was selling fear. And it worked. People bought it. And by the time that it was all done, over 250,000 people had died from AZT toxicity. Now let's talk about my brother for a moment. My brother's name was Bob. He was my best friend. Nobody I was closer to in the entire world than my brother. My brother was a homosexual. He was diagnosed with HIV/AIDS in the summer of 1986. He would be dead by December of 1988. I remember the day he went to the doctor and he came back with a positive test. He was fine. He wasn't sick. He didn't look sick. He didn't act sick. And he went to the pharmacy to get a prescription filled. And he came back and I saw the bottle of pills and I asked him what he was taking. And I forget what the brand name of it, but it was AZT. And within 48 hours after he started taking those pills, he didn't look right. He didn't feel right. He started to feel weak almost immediately. And within 2 weeks after he started taking these pills, this healthy person with no symptoms of any kind was now flat on his back in a hospital bed with pneumonia. From day 1 to day 14, that's how fast that drug began to eat away at his body and began to eat away at his immune system. Now the CDC, when people called to complain, oh, it's not related. Those symptoms have nothing to do with the drug. He has a dangerous virus and the virus is progressing. So I want you to understand, when you're trying to look at what's happening right now, and for those of you that are under the age of 45, you may not remember everything that happened in the 1980s. But I do. I was there. I watched my brother die from a drug that Anthony Fauci was heavily promoting. A drug that the CDC and the NIH and the FDA said was perfectly fine to take. And then when people started developing adverse reactions, they put their hands up in the air and said, nope, that's not the drug. That's your virus. That's your disease. That's your something else. And then the day came when my brother was hospitalized for the last time, December 4th of 1988. You want to know what my brother died of? My brother died of a heart attack that was triggered by liver failure. Liver failure is the number one symptom and adverse reaction to AZT. My brother didn't die of HIV/AIDS. Only an idiot would think that. My brother died of AZT poisoning that was pushed and promoted and profited by the same man who's pushing vaccines 40 years later.
One such treatment that was ignored was Bactrim. PCP was the leading killer in AIDS patients, and many doctors were prescribing the inexpensive antibiotic as a prophylaxis to prevent AIDS victims from developing the rare pneumonia. There was evidence that the antibiotic should be used as a prophylaxis whenever the reoccurrence rate of PCP for a given condition was over 15%. The reoccurrence rate of PCP in HIV-positive patients was over 60%. Despite the science, Dr. Fauci declined to conduct a clinical trial. Doctors and advocates continued to push for its use, and finally, a couple years later, it was adopted.
So, Anthony Fauci was told that there was a cheap antibiotic called Bactrim that really showed a lot of promise, and it prevented AIDS patients from getting PCP pneumonia. And Anthony Fauci said, no, 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 no. He wouldn't even try it. And do you know why he wouldn't try it? Because he didn't want anything to stop the money train that AZT was riding on. Billions and billions and billions of dollars. So, here we are in the 21st century. My brother has been dead for so long, I sometimes struggle to remember the sound of his voice. It's been a long time. I think about him every day. But all these years later, it's hard. It's hard to remember. But here we are in 2021, and we have drugs like ivermectin that some people are saying works astonishingly well. The most listened to podcaster in the world, Joe Rogan, was famously diagnosed with COVID 2 weeks ago. He began to take a regimen of intravenous vitamins. And one of the things that he got was a prescription from his doctor for ivermectin. And Joe Rogan was back to work in 3 days. When Joe Rogan simply did a podcast on what his experience was, he wasn't promoting ivermectin. He wasn't even telling people to take it. He was just simply telling people, hey, I got diagnosed with COVID. I felt really sick. I started taking ivermectin. And in 3 days, I was perfectly fine. And I tested negative. Now, does ivermectin do that with everybody who takes it? No. No drug works exactly the same in everybody. There are people who can't tolerate Tylenol. There are people who they can't tolerate aspirin or ibuprofen. But the vast majority of people can. And the vast majority of people get a benefit from it. Joe Rogan took ivermectin. And he was pounced upon by Anthony Fauci, the CDC, every single mainstream newspaper in America, news outlet. And do you know what those news outlets were reporting? They were reporting lies about Joe Rogan. Now the End Begins was one of the only websites on the face of the earth. On the day that the news broke, we told you the truth. This is what our headline was the day that the news broke about Joe Rogan, September 1st. This is what we wrote. UFC commentator and podcaster Joe Rogan tests positive for COVID. Takes ivermectin, monoclonal antibodies, and vitamins, and recovers in 3 days. That's what Now the End Begins wrote on September 1st. And we were one of the only websites on the face of the earth that told you the truth. They tried to make Joe Rogan into a crazy person. They tried to make him into some sort of a fringe lunatic. But he wasn't having any of that. He wasn't standing for that. Joe Rogan held his ground. Do you know that in many states like Pennsylvania and New Jersey and New York, if you go into your pharmacist with a prescription from your doctor for ivermectin, in the vast majority of cases, the pharmacists are refusing to fill your prescription that was legally prescribed to you by a licensed medical doctor? And can you guess who's telling them to not fulfill the prescriptions? Anthony Fauci, the NIH, the CDC. Anthony Fauci, back in the 1980s, didn't want to consider any other type of treatment for HIV/AIDS other than AZT. And for over 10 years, he held his ground. And by the hundreds of thousands, people took that poison and they died. My brother was one of those unfortunate people. So I'm going to ask you a question right now. Anthony Fauci is doing exactly the same thing in the 21st century. Anthony Fauci is the same horrific liar that he was 40 years ago. Anthony Fauci is following the same protocol with COVID-19 that he followed with HIV/AIDS. He is telling you that your only chance for beating COVID-19 is a vaccine that they rush through in 5 months. 40 years ago, he told you that your only chance for beating HIV/AIDS was taking AZT. The majority, the vast majority of people who took AZT died from AZT. So, do you think that when I look at this man, this short little liar, do you think that I give him the benefit of the doubt? And now that his hair has gone gray and he speaks with authority, do you think I believe a word that Anthony Fauci says? I do not. And I'm watching Anthony Fauci kill a whole new generation of people. Is anybody at the slight bit suspicious that the Delta variant didn't come out until people started getting vaccinated? Anybody ever ask any questions about that? Anybody ever wonder, huh? You would think with all these people being vaccinated, why are we having another surge? Well, where do you think the surge came from? Sure looks like it came from the vaccinated people. Now, I'm really glad that I didn't catch HIV/AIDS back in the 1980s. I don't know what I would have done. I hope that I would not have been the type of person who would have taken AZT. But I don't have to worry about that here in the 21st century. I'm not faced with that dilemma. But what I am faced with is COVID-19. And yes, I know people that have died from COVID-19. But I also know lots of people who recovered from it. And I know a lot of vaccinated people who have gotten very, very sick with COVID. I'm real glad that I didn't take Anthony Fauci's medicine 40 years ago. And I'm definitely not going to take Anthony Fauci's medicine here in the 21st century. And that's something that you have to pray about. That's something that you've got to get together with God and say, Lord, show me what to do. But just like we told you on our Friday podcast, this has been going on for a long time. Anthony Fauci is he's a key player, but he's only a player. Remember when he said this?
Right now in the United States, people should not be walking around with masks.
You're sure of it? Because people are listening really closely to this.
Right now, people should not be walking. There's no reason to be walking around with a mask. When you're in the middle of an outbreak, wearing a mask might make people feel a little bit better, and it might even block a droplet, but it's not providing the perfect protection that people think that it is.
Isn't it amazing how easily that man can just open up his mouth and he can lie and lie and lie? Never apologizes, never goes back and said he was wrong. If you believe Anthony Fauci, well, I don't know what to tell you. I think I've made the case fairly strongly. And I've shown you a 40-year history of Anthony Fauci promoting big pharma, people making billions of dollars, and hundreds of thousands of people dying. Rand Paul says that Anthony Fauci's a liar. Rand Paul says that Anthony Fauci paid to have COVID-19 created in a lab in Wuhan, China.
Dr. Fauci, we don't know whether the pandemic started in a lab in Wuhan or evolved naturally, but we should want to know. 3 million people have died from this pandemic, and that should cause us to explore all possibilities. Instead, government authorities, self-interested in continuing gain-of-function research, say there's nothing to see here. Gain-of-function research, as you know, is juicing up naturally occurring animal viruses to infect humans. To arrive at the truth, the U.S. government should admit that the Wuhan Virology Institute was experimenting to enhance the coronavirus's ability to infect humans. Juicing up superviruses is not new. Scientists in the U.S. have long known how to mutate animal viruses to infect humans. For years, Dr. Ralph Barrick, a virologist in the U.S., has been collaborating with Dr. Shi Zengli of the Wuhan Virology Institute, sharing his discoveries about how to create superviruses. This gain-of-function research has been funded by the NIH. The collaboration between the U.S. and the Wuhan Virology Institute continues. Doctors Barrick and Shi worked together to insert bat virus spike protein into the backbone of the deadly SARS virus and then use this man-made supervirus to infect human airway cells. Think about that for a moment. The SARS virus had a 15% mortality. We're fighting a pandemic that has about a 1% mortality. Can you imagine if a SARS virus that's been juiced up and had viral proteins added to it, to the spike protein, if that were released accidentally? Dr. Fauci, do you still support funding of the NIH funding of the lab in Wuhan?
Senator Paul, with all due respect, you are entirely and completely incorrect that the NIH has not ever and does not now fund gain-of-function research in the Wuhan Institute.
Do they fund Dr. Barrick?
We do not fund.
Do you fund Dr. Barrick's gain-of-function research?
Dr. Barrick does not doing gain-of-function research, and if it is,
It's according to the guidelines, and it is being conducted in North Carolina.
Dr. Barrick does not conduct gain-of-function research, but if he does, well, he's doing it the right way. You see what I'm talking about? I've been showing you Anthony Fauci over a 40-year period, and he does nothing but lie and lie and lie and lie, never admits guilt, never takes blame, never takes responsibility, never apologizes, never says he's sorry, and he will work and work to cover for the big pharma companies that are killing you. It's gotten so bad that Anthony Fauci no longer recognizes that the CDC's own VAERS website is even reliable. And the reason why they say it's not reliable is because too many people are writing in to say that they've had a horrible reaction from the vaccine. So, do you think that would cause the CDC and the FDA and the NIH to conduct a thorough and immediate investigation why over 624,000 people would log on to the VAERS website to say that they've had a very bad reaction to the COVID-19 vaccine? Do you think that would cause an immediate investigation? No, it didn't. It hasn't. Do you think it would cause an immediate investigation that over 13,000 people, their loved ones who survived them, have logged on to the VAERS website to say that their loved one died in the immediate aftermath of the first or second shot? Do you think that that would cause the FDA or the CDC or the NIH or Anthony Fauci to order an immediate investigation to 13,000 claims of vaccine death? No, doesn't. They don't care. They are simply disavowing their own website. So I want you to think about that. I want you to think about the level that these people sink to. There is no depth that is too low for these people. And when you have a group or an organization that has been tasked with safeguarding the national health, and they won't even acknowledge their own website because it's not giving them the feedback that they want. It doesn't promote the narrative that they are promoting. So they disavow their own website that they created so that the average person on the street could have a voice and say, hey, I took this drug and this is what happened. They are simply shutting off everybody. And the only accepted response is take the vaccine. World leader after world leader they're giving interviews and they're saying, our patience is wearing thin. Time is up. We no longer wish to deal with the unvaccinated. Liberal doctors are beginning to flirt with the idea of not allowing unvaccinated access to emergency medical services. What started out as a pandemic is turning into a Holocaust, but not a Holocaust that is caused by a virus. A Holocaust that is caused by the callous and indifferent approach to our fellow human beings. So I want you to think about all these things. I want you to think about what's actually happening. And today, I wanted to show you a little bit of the history of Anthony Fauci. I wanted to show you what he did back in the 1980s and 90s. And as you heard for yourself, he is following exactly the same pattern here in 2021 that he did back in 1988 and 1991. He is not allowing alternative medicines to be considered. He is disavowing any other approach than a vaccine, as the big pharma companies make billions and billions and billions and billions of dollars. And while they do this, people are dying. But you know what? They're only going to be able to keep up this facade for so long. And eventually, they're going to be forced to acknowledge that there's just as many vaccinated people dying of COVID-19 as there are unvaccinated people. That is not a facade that they'll be able to keep up for too long. And already that facade is starting to break down. Even in the short 5 months since they really started to promote these vaccines, the narrative has changed so many times. And now they don't even bother to try and tell you that it will stop COVID, because they know it won't stop COVID. Now they're just trying to get you to take it based on trying to make you feel guilty about not taking it. But outside of that, they have nothing else. And it's only a matter of time before this whole charade just crumbles to the ground. But don't worry, they have something to take its place. They're working on the next phase already. This has been going on for 20 months now. It hasn't stopped or let up for a moment. It hasn't stopped for even one day. And it's not going to stop. So, don't live in fear. Don't believe that the only chance you have to beat COVID is taking their very sketchy and very questionable vaccine. God created you with an immune system. Feed your immune system. If you're a smoker or a vapor, stop immediately smoking or vaping. If you drink alcohol, stop drinking alcohol. Alcohol lowers your immune system. Start getting sleep. Start getting better rest. Take your vitamins, magnesium, garlic, vitamin C, D3, zinc, B complex, quercetin, CoQ10. Start feeding your immune system and stop feeding your fear. And with that, we've come to the end of our podcast today. I thank you so much for tuning in. And Lord willing, we're going to see you back here Wednesday night, 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, for another edition of our Rightly Dividing King James Bible Study. Have a great week, everybody.
The Bible says my king is the king of the Jews. He's the king of Israel. He's the king of righteousness. He's the king of the ages. He's the king of heaven. He's the king of glory. He's the king of kings. And he's the Lord of lords. That's my king. I wonder, do you know him? My king is a sovereign king. No means of measure can define his limitless love. He's enduringly strong. He's entirely sincere. He's eternally steadfast. He's immortally graceful. He's imperially powerful. He's impartial. utterly merciful. Do you know him? He's the greatest phenomenon that has ever crossed the horizon of this world. He's God's son. He's a sinner's savior. He's the centerpiece of civilization. He's unparalleled. He's unprecedented. He is the loftiest idea in literature. He's the highest personality in philosophy. He's the fundamental doctrine of true theology. He's the only one qualified to be an all-sufficient savior. I wonder if you know him today. He supplies strength for the weak. He's available for the tempted and the tried. He sympathizes and he saves. He strengthens and sustains. He guards and he guides. He heals the sick. He cleanses the lepers. He forgives sinners. He discharges debtors. He delivers the captive. He defends the feeble. He blesses the young. He serves the unfortunate. He regards the aged. He rewards the diligent. And he purifies the meek. I wonder if you know him. He's the key to knowledge. He's a wellspring of wisdom. He's a doorway of deliverance. He's a pathway of peace. He's a roadway of righteousness. He's a highway of holiness. He's a gateway of glory. Do you know him? Well, his life is matchless. His goodness is limitless. His mercy is everlasting. His love never changes. His word is enough. His grace is sufficient. His reign is righteous. And his yoke is easy. And his burden is light. I wish I could describe him, for yet he's indescribable. He's incomprehensible. He's invincible. He's irresistible. Well, you can't get him out of your mind. You see, you can't get him off of your head. You can't outlive him, and you can't live without him. Well, the Pharisees couldn't stand him, but they found out they couldn't stop him. Pilate couldn't find any fault in him. Herod couldn't kill him. Death couldn't handle him. And the grave